गुणैरपि गुणेषु च ग्रह्यमाणेषु अहं कुर्यान् न विद्वान् यस्तु अविक्रिया इन्द्रियैरिन्द्रियार्थेषु गुणैरपि गुणेषु च ग्रह्यमाणेषु अहं कुर्यान् न विद्वान् यस्तु अविक्रियः इन्द्रियैरिन्द्रियार्थेषु गुणैरपि गुणेषु च ग्रह्यमाणेषु अहं कुर्यान् न विद्वान् यस्तु अविक्रियः गुणेषु च मणेषु अहं कुर्यान् विद्वान् यस्तु विक्रियः इन्द्रियार्थेषु मेरपि गुणेषु च रमणेषु अहं कुर्यान् न्यस्तु अविक्रियः इन्द्रियैरिन्द्रियार्थेषु माताजीस् We'll see the word-to-word translation, translation purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Word-to-word translation. Indriyai, by the senses. Indriya, of the senses. Artheshu, in the objects. Gunai, by those generated from the modes of nature. By those generated from the modes of nature. Api, even, guneshu, in those generated by the same modes, in those generated by the same modes. Cha, also, griyamaneshu, as they are being accepted. Aham, false ego. Kuryat, should create. Na, not. Vidwan, one who is enlightened. Yaha, who, tu, indeed, avikriyaha, is not affected by material desire. Translation. An enlightened person who is free from the contamination of material desire does not consider himself to be the performer of bodily activities. Rather, he knows that in all such activities, it is only the senses, born of the modes of nature, that are contacting sense objects, born of the same modes of nature. Purport. Lord Krishna makes a similar statement in Bhagavad Gita 3.28. Tattvavittu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayoho guna guneshu vartanta iti matva nasajjate. Translation. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the difference between work in devotion and work for fruitive results. The material body always interacts with the sense objects, for in order to survive, the body must eat, drink, speak, sleep, and so on. But an enlightened person who knows the science of Krishna consciousness never thinks, I am accepting these sense objects as my property. They are meant for my pleasure. Similarly, if the body performs a wonderful activity, a Krishna conscious person does not become proud, nor is he depressed by the failure of the body to function in a particular way. In other words, Krishna consciousness means giving up identification with the gross and the subtle material bodies. One should see them as the external energy of the Lord, working under the direction of the Lord's empowered representative Maya. When absorbed in fruitive activities, works under the jurisdiction of Mahamaya or the external illusory potency and experiences the miseries of material existence. On the other hand, a devotee works under the internal potency called Yogamaya and remains satisfied by offering his loving service to the Lord. In either case, the Lord himself, by his multifarious potencies, is the ultimate performer of action. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one who claims to be transcendental to the bodily concept of life, but at the same time remains under the influence of material desire and mental transformation, is understood to be a cheater and the lowest type of conditioned soul. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroh Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, we seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that we can discuss something on this Amalam Puranam, Srimad Bhagavatam. One time during a Janmashtami festival, some television channels had come and they were looking for some answers. So they asked, can you tell us this shloka that Krishna speaks in the Gita, famous shloka, Karmani Eva Adhikaraste? And what is the importance of that shloka? Because it seems, without any desire for fruit, ma phaleshu kadachana, there is no impetus for working. Sounds very impractical. So then, the answer was given, when we think we are the doer, and two things can happen. I am the doer, I am successful or I am a failure. So if I am successful, I get obsessed. I become proud. And if I fail, then I become depressed. Because I am the cause. And when you see Krishna as a doer, as is mentioned in today's shloka also, then when you win the task, then you see it as a grace. And if you fail, then you see it as just another phase. It's just a phase of life. Something to learn from. So in this way, we can understand how a devotee continues to perform his duties but keeping himself not in the center. He keeps Krishna in the center. In 16th chapter of the Gita, verse number 12, Krishna gives a very simple analogy. He says, Asha Pasha Shatair Baddha. So he's using this example of Pasha. Pasha means a rope. And he says, a person who wants to enjoy in this world, something like Shatair Baddha, he is bound up by hundreds of ropes. He cannot move. And if you read Prabhupada's purports to this shloka, then he does not talk about this example, Asha Pasha Shatair Baddha. He does not mention anything about this simple analogy. So I was thinking, usually Prabhupada talks about the words that Krishna speaks. And then I refer to Baldev Vidya Bhushan's purport. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan's first line of that purport is, he says, because the words in the first line are so clear, there is no need to explain. He does not, it's such a simple example. If you are bound up by your desires, you cannot move, you cannot function. You will be pulled down. And then I understood how Prabhupada also has not commented on that. There is one story in the life of Adi Shankaracharya. He and his disciples were going somewhere and they saw one man pulling with the help of a rope a cow. He was almost dragging the cow. So he asked his disciples, who is pulling whom? So obviously the man is pulling the cow. He said, okay, look what I do. He took a knife and cut off the rope. As soon as the rope was cut, the cow started running. Then the man started running behind the cow. Then he asked, now tell me who's bound by whom? Say, yes, the man is bound by the cow. Similarly, we own many objects, we have many assets, but we do not own those assets, we possess them. And in getting used to this concept that I own this, I possess this, actually those objects possess us. Those assets possess us. We can't live without them. Think of any person who is habituated to drinking tea, and in the morning when he does not get tea, he gets obsessed. I want tea. He's dragged by it. So I was just thinking, a person when he's alive, he has a certain weight. Has any one of your friends ever tried to lift you? Maybe on some birthday event or something. It takes one person to lift another person. Did you observe this? And when the person dies, when the spirit soul, the pure spirit soul leaves this body, that same body has to be lifted by four people. So it is said, although everything remains the same, the weight of a dead body is quite a lot as compared to the alive body. So I was just thinking, till the time, if you look at matter itself, matter is quite heavy. It has this ability to pull you down. And till the time spirit was there, till the time something pure was there, till that time it was light. So similarly, the more we have our material consciousness, the more we can understand, we'll have a heavy weight, we'll be pulled down, our consciousness will always go down in the downward direction. So it is said, if we don't ask, what am I doing, then we'll be forced to ask, what have I done? There'll be repentance. So it is said there are two pains that one has to undergo in life. One is the pain of regret and one is the pain of discipline. If you don't undergo the pain of discipline today, then we have to undergo the pain of regret tomorrow. So many times this knowledge is compared to light. Why am I having this kind of attachment to material objects? I can see clearly it is not in my favor. But still, in the absence of knowledge, that's what we are doing. When Lord Krishna returns to Dwarka, in one place, Dwarkavasis are welcoming Krishna and they give a very simple analogy. So they say, actually you are like the sun, Ravi. And he says, in the absence of you in Dwarka, although we had these eyes, actually the whole world was very dark for us. We could not see anything. Just like we have eyes, but in intense darkness, these eyes are useless. They are dependent on another source of light. So similarly, they glorify Krishna like that. Now, at least Dwarkavasis have some association of Krishna and then they lose him so they can see the difference. The problem with all of us is we do not even have an experience of Krishna in the material world. So sometimes we get used to the darkness. We feel this darkness is life. And when light is put in our lives in the form of knowledge, in the form of some good advice by some devotees connected to Krishna, then we feel, why is he changing my situation? My eyes have gotten used to light. Absence of light, darkness. Have you ever moved from a room with light and suddenly you move into a room which is darkness? Sometimes you're traveling in a car and it goes into a tunnel. So first there is some difference there. There's some struggle there in adjusting. And then when the car comes out of the tunnel into light, again there is a problem. So first time we faced our problem when we came from the spiritual world to the material world. We're struggling. We're thinking, where have I gotten into? Old age, disease, death, birth, why? And then after some time in the tunnel, we get used to that situation, that ambience. And then the second struggle is when you come out of the tunnel into broad daylight. Similarly, all of us also, we are in this darkness of material illusions, thinking shadows to be reality. And then when somebody guides us, that also is a big struggle for us. So then what is the solution for this? I'm in darkness. This is not good for me. But when somebody shines light on my face, that also is a problem. So what to do in such a situation? So think about a situation where somebody has a torch and it puts light straight on your face. I want to give you the real light. Will it work like that? Sometimes you're standing for a photograph and a photographer clicks and there's a flash. How many of you have experienced that the person who's clicking the photograph, he'll ask you, can you pose again? So what happened? I gave a nice pose. He says, no, your eyes were shut. So how come my eyes shut? Because of the flash. So intense darkness also blinds. But equally blinding is intense light. So I am in darkness right now, and then suddenly when somebody pulls me into intense light, bright light, it can also be blinding to me. So what is the solution? We'll have to first understand, how did this problem happen? In order to find medicine for any disease, first we have to find out what the disease was caused. So Prabhupada many times in his books mentions a very simple concept. He says, why did we land here in the material world from the spiritual world? He says, Maya Shakti has two potencies. One is called the Avaranatmika Shakti, the covering potency, Avarana. And he says there is the Prakshepatmika Shakti, Prakshepan, Astra, means missile. So a throwing potency. So there is a throwing potency and then there is a covering potency. Now which of them acted first on us? Did we get covered first? Sometimes people have this question. I was there in the spiritual world. Why did I first of all forget Krishna and come here? So was Avaran first and then Prakshepatmika Shakti acted on me? Or first I was thrown away from the spiritual world and then when I landed here in the material world, then there was Avaran. So this question was once asked by a scholar to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati answers this question by saying, actually, although there are two separate energies, they almost happen simultaneously. There's not much difference between them. And he gives an example. He says, consider you have 100 lotus leaves. Lotus leaves are very soft. You have 100 lotus leaves clung to each other. You take a needle and you pierce it through this bundle of lotus leaves. So did the needle go through those individual leaves? Yes, of course. But he says, what is the time difference? At what moment did the needle pierce the first leaf? And at what moment did the needle pierce the last leaf? It's almost the same moment. So practically speaking, it happens in one shot. But yes, intelligently you can understand there was a difference. So he says, Prakshepatmika and Avaranatmika, actually they happen one at a time. And then he gives an example. Think about it. These are these two kartals. Very close to each other. So he is comparing this to the Jiva and the Supreme Lord. So all of us were in the spiritual world having a very thick relationship with the Supreme Lord. So there are these two kartas that are clung to each other. And then there is a desire to cover only one of them. Because the Supreme Lord cannot be covered. The Jiva can be covered. So Maya Shakti wants to cover us. So how will it cover? Can you cover these two kartals, only one of them, as long as they are clung to each other? No. There has to be at least little distance between them. And as soon as there is little distance between them, then one of them can be covered. So he says, actually, it happens together, but still, how did the distance come about? How did a distance come about? So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati answers this question by saying, he does not say aversion to the Lord. Aversion means not liking to serve the Lord, having a negative attitude towards the Lord. Most of us feel like that. So I never have a negative attitude towards the Lord. Even before I came to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I never hated Krishna. So he says, he uses a very specific word. He says, that distance which was never there, a very small difference, a very minute difference is created, he says, by indifference to the service of the Lord. What does it mean, indifference? Indifference means I don't care. It's not that I don't like, but it is also not that I like. It's not that I hate it, but it is also that I don't love it. What does it mean? Sometimes a father, exhausted in the evening, will return home and his young son is sitting there. They have a very good relationship. And he says, I'm totally exhausted today. I'm tired today. Can you get me a glass of water? And this boy just looks at him and says, hmm. He does not say, I won't. He does not say, why? He does not give any of those answers. But neither is there that eagerness to serve his loving father. So that, from his side, he can say, I never said I don't like you. Probably after 5 minutes, I'll get water for you. But the point is, that moment, a distance was created in the heart of the father for his son. He said, I have done so much for you from my childhood, and you did not spring. You did not jump to do some little service for me. So similarly, when we have indifference towards the service of the Lord, that is when the distance is created. And that neutrality, this neutrality. You don't hate him, but you don't love him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati adds, this neutrality is very dangerous. Why? Because our natural position is to serve the Lord lovingly. But that neutrality now puts us in a situation where there can be a pull from the other side also. What is that pull? The pull is that Maya Devi can also attract us. We have a distance from the Lord. So immediately there is avaran, and then as soon as there is avaran, there is prakshapatmika. We get thrown into the material world. But it happens so simultaneously. In a moment there is avaran, in a moment we are here in the material world. It does not take much time. So in order to solve this problem of our deep attachment to the material world and we getting possessed by the objects, we'll have to solve this issue. The root of this whole issue, why we are here, is indifference to the service of the Lord. None of us hated the Lord, but somehow we can all accept, at least some of us can accept, we don't even love the Lord. So what is the solution? The solution is not to pull you directly into the loving service of the Lord, which is very difficult for us. As I mentioned, intense light on the eyes also blinds us. So what do the acharyas say? The acharyas say, pull him slowly, step by step. So many of us, or almost all of us, they are caught into karma or vikarma. So karma is pious activity which gives us good results in this world, and there is vikarma which gives us negative results in this world. And the acharyas mentioned, Krishna also mentions in the Gita, there is a third activity which is called akarma. What is akarma? Akarma means you do activity not for pleasure of the body or not for the pleasure of the mind. This is usually the motivation for doing anything in this world. What is in it for me? So this gradual step-by-step process is advised by Lord Krishna in the Gita also and by the acharyas also. Joshaye sarva karmani. Vidvan yukta samachara. This is a vidvan is not somebody who discourages a person from doing something. He encourages a person in doing what he wants to do, but for the pleasure of Krishna. Did you observe any time as you are traveling, do you observe an engine sometimes? It's running. You can hear the engine running. This is a railway engine, and inside there is a smaller engine, a locomotive engine. And the engine is running. You can hear the sound, but it is not moving. It seems it takes a lot of fuel to start a locomotive engine. So usually even if there is some time lag between this train and that train, they don't shut it off. It just keeps on running. So when you see a locomotive engine which is running, don't even feel that it has lost its power to move. It has latent power. It has that potential. It not only has potential for itself to move, it also has potential to drag 26 bogies of the train to move. But right now, due to some reason, it has not engaged itself. The gears are not on. Is it not? there is an art of starting that locomotive engine into motion. And once it starts into motion, it will not only pull itself, it can pull so many other bogies also, the coaches of the train also. So how do you start a powerful locomotive engine which has a lot of potential? It is stationary right now. The engine is running. It has that potential. How do you get it into motion? So none of us have driven, so probably this question is not a good question. How do you start a car that is already on, the engine is already on, but it is stationary and you want to get into motion? How do you do it? Yes, you put it into first gear, then it starts a little bit, then you put it into second gear, gradual, is it not? So this is exactly the process that Krishna and the Acharyas think about us. He says, he has a lot of potential to be a pure devotee. He has a lot of potential to pull others into pure devotional service, into my service. But right now, he is stationary. Right now, he is not moving. So what to do? Give him some small service for Krishna. Give him some small service in a way that it is doable and it is understandable and it is not a big burden for him. However powerful a car may be, however powerful a locomotive engine may be, you can't put it directly into the fourth gear. It won't move. So, we'll discuss one pastime from Lord Chaitanya's life. This is Raghunath Das Goswami, who hears that Lord Chaitanya has come after taking sannyas. He was fooled, he was misguided into coming to Shantipur, and he's close by. So he thinks, oh, Lord Chaitanya has come close by to Shantipur and I want to visit him. So he's trying to escape for a long time to go to Jagannath Puri. But his father has closely guarded him with 11 guards. There are 11 people guarding Raghunath Das Goswami. And he can't move out. So finally when he comes to know Lord Chaitanya has come close by, he makes a plea to his father. He says, can you please allow me to meet Lord Chaitanya? I just want to meet him. If you don't allow me to meet him, my life will go. So Lord Chaitanya gives him some money, gives him some materials and says, okay, you can go but with these guards. So it is mentioned Raghunath Das Goswami spent one whole week with Lord Chaitanya. And all this time when he was associating with Lord Chaitanya, he was very happy. But then, all of us know, Ashashvatam, is it not? So he was thinking, these 7 days are so good, but what about after 7 days? Again, one day I have to go to my home. So he was concerned. And Lord Chaitanya in his heart, he understood this. So what did Lord Chaitanya advise to Raghunath Das Goswami? He says, Sthirahaya ghare jao naho vatul, krame krame paya loka bhava sindhu kul. He says, krame krame. Usually when we talk of Lord Chaitanya is all about ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya is about jumping high and like that. Yes, is it not? But in this instance, where Raghunath Das Goswami is kind of bound up, we were talking of a living entity who is bound up, and he wants to serve, but he is not allowed to serve by his passions. Asha Pasha Shatairbadda. So that's why we are taking this example of Raghunath Das Goswami. What is Lord Chaitanya's advice to him? He does not ask him to run away. He says, Sthira hoya. Jao, you go back to your home. Naho vatul. Vatul comes from the root word vata. Vata means life air. So it is said, there are life airs within us, and when there is an imbalance of those life airs, that is what is called a vatul. In English, it is called a crazy person, mad person. So it is said, when the life airs go crazy, we can't behave properly, we can't think properly. So Lord Chaitanya is telling him, you want to just run away from home, but that is vatul. Krame krame paye. Bhava Sindhu Kul. So you want to cross over this material ocean, you want to go back to serving Krishna, it has to be done step by step. First gear, second gear, third gear, and then final gear. And then he says, oh, you might think, oh, so we have some lines from Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport. Everyone is trying to get out of the ocean of material existence, at least those who understand that cow and man example. One cannot immediately reach the coast, but if one endeavors, he can cross the ocean by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. One may be very eager to cross this ocean, but he cannot attain success by acting like a madman. He must swim over the ocean very patiently and intelligently under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his representative, Sadhana Bhakti. Then one day he will reach the shore and return home back to Godhead. When Srila Prabhupada started his preaching in the USA, there's a situation in USA. This is something around 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's dead of the night, everyone is sleeping. And this was the time when Prabhupada would cherish translating his books. So he's writing, and then there is a strong knock on his door. Prabhupada initially neglects it, thinking it is just some passerby. But then there's a strong knock. He opens the door. There is a girl, there is a young girl. She has dazed eyes. She's drunk. Or she has taken some drugs. And she's just looking at Swamiji in a very strange way. She's not speaking anything. So now Prabhupada is saying, what to do? And then he remembers the situation in the Radha Damodar Mandir in Vrindavan. He says, I was very safe there. I had everything there. Nobody, no crazy drugged girl comes at 1 o'clock in the night to disturb a sannyasi there. And you don't know what she will do. So he's asking her, speak up something. What do you want? She looks at him with bright eyes. She makes her eyes big and says, Mahaula. This is there in the Prabhupada Lilamrit. So Prabhupada understands something is wrong here and anything can happen. So he quickly comes out of the room in order to call up Mukunda. Mukunda is also staying in the same home but in another room. As soon as Prabhupada comes out of the room, this girl locks the door. So now this is 1 o'clock in the night and all his belongings are inside his room. And Prabhupada, an old man, at 1 o'clock in the night, he is out of his room locked. So he's thinking, how has this happened? So he quickly rushes to Mukunda's room, calls him out. He tells him, there is this girl here and you have to do what is necessary. But Mukunda, he mentions in Lilamrit, he says, there was no anger towards the girl. There was no hatred towards the girl. Prabhupada said, just take care of the situation. In a very kind voice, Prabhupada said. So Mukunda takes her and escorts her to the road. And then he tells her, you should never come here at this time of the night. Don't disturb Swamiji at 1 o'clock in the night. And then she looks at Mukunda and says, you are not ready. That's what she says. You are not ready. I had some extra special spiritual message to give to you, but you are not ready. So this is the life that Prabhupada used to face. There was one person called David with whom Prabhupada would stay. And one day, after a bath, Prabhupada forgot something. The soap that David would use was on the floor. So Prabhupada probably overlooked it, I don't know what. But he forgot to keep it up. So after Prabhupada's bath, obviously, before David's, so then David, when he went to the bathroom, he saw his soap on the floor. Just seeing that soap on the floor, he got so wild, he got so crazy, he took out his knife and he was about to stab Swamiji. Now what did Swamiji do? Swamiji had to just run away, leaving all his typewriter, his belongings, his book. He just ran away to save his life. So this is the kind of experiences that a devotee of the Lord has when he is dealing with the mad people of this world. And that's why Lord Chaitanya is saying, it's not so easy to give up this madness. It has to be dealt in a step-by-step way. And then he says, Markata vairagya na kara loka dekhaya, yatha yogya vishaya bhunja anasakta haya. You should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciant. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. Anasakta haya. Then he says, Antare nishtha kara bhaya loka vyavahar achirata krishna tomaya karibe uddhar. Within your heart, you should keep yourself very faithful, but externally you may behave like an ordinary man. Thus, Krishna will soon be very pleased and deliver you from the clutches of Maya. And then he says, if you lead your life in this way, in due course of time, you can see me at Jagannath Puri. For coming to Jagannath Puri, you can think of some trick how to escape from your home. So then the question will come, no, you are telling me to be straight. So how can the trick come? He says, no, this advice to you that do your duties is not an eternal advice. First gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear. Is it not? Step by step. So he says, you have to come up with some chala. You have to come up with some kind of a yukti. But right now what I want from you is that you do what is told. You do sadhana bhakti. You don't try to overstep the process of sadhana bhakti. And then what will happen? Says, one day, if you follow my advice, Krishna will inspire you some trick for your parents. And then you can escape and you can meet. And then he says, Bahya vairagya vatula tasakala chhadiya yatha yogya karya kare anasakta haya. says, bahya vairagya vatulata sabha chhadiya. Whatever external renunciation, visible renunciation, something that could be detected by others was there, chhadiya. Raghunath Das Goswami gave it up. But inside his heart, he always remained a renunciant. He always kept meditating on Lord Chaitanya's feet. And then one day, he got an idea that he said, I want to meet Yadunandan Acharya. And in the middle of the night, he escaped and he met Lord Chaitanya. And then the rest is history. He became an exemplary Vaishnava. Now today is Rathi Yatra Day. So it's also important to discuss a little bit about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes on Rathi Yatra Day. And we were discussing about mad men. And we were discussing about what is the solution for giving up this madness. So, one way to deal with a madman is that you give him this step-by-step process. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one of the purports, 3.29 in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives a very nice example. He says, try convincing a madman that he is not mad. Sometimes while traveling I see there is somebody crazy. And he's just shouting loud. He's saying, "Isko dekh lunga, usne mere saath aisa kiya, usne aisa kiya." So basically, a person who is mad thinks the whole world is mad. He never accepts that he is mad. A drunken man will never accept that he is drunk. He thinks everyone else is drunk. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, try convincing a person who is haunted by a ghost that actually, you know what, this is not you. This is the ghost who is speaking. So will he ever get convinced that he is haunted by a ghost? Never ever. So the only medicine for a person haunted by a ghost is not to discuss with him. Is to give him some mantra, give him some specific medicine, or there are some specific jewels that you give to him and that jewels has a medicinal property and then that ghost can go away. So similarly he says, Pishachi pai yena mati brahma hoy, mati channa hoy. Narottam Das Thakur in one of his books he says, he compares maya or this illusion to a pishachi, a ghost. So pishachi paile yena mati channa hoy. When somebody is haunted by a ghost, he does not think properly. Similarly, he says, this is the state when somebody is haunted by materialistic ambitions. So what do you do with such a person? Somebody is haunted by a ghost, he is mad, and you cannot talk with him, you cannot discuss with him. Instead, he will call you mad, he will call you a ghost. So one more way of dealing with a madman is, you show him the example of a bigger mad person. So he is already crazy. And there's another bigger crazy person. And you say, hey, I'm not as crazy as him. Then he calms down. Then he thinks, I need to upgrade myself to a higher standard of craziness. So sometimes Lord Chaitanya, he gave this krame krame pae bhava sindukul, this kind of analogy. But on the Ratha Yatra day, Lord Chaitanya used the second technique. What did he do? On the Ratha Yatra day, Lord Chaitanya, he exhibited the highest forms of madness. Now, I'm speaking to you with the understanding that you understand what is this madness. One madness is to forget our well-wishers. And one madness is to do everything in this world, sometimes crossing our own limits, to please our well-wishers. So there is one madness of atheists in trying to deny the existence of God, writing books denying the existence of God. And then there is another madness of very pure devotees who do not see anything in this world except Krishna. Shunya itam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. So Lord Chaitanya exhibits and displays is an example of the second type of madness. He is actually thinking, without Krishna, what is there in this world? Now is there nothing in this world except Krishna? But that's what his situation is. So on the Rath Yatra day, what does Lord Chaitanya do? It is mentioned he wakes up early with all his associates. And he goes near the temple of Lord Jagannath to see the Pandu Vijay, or sometimes it is called Pahandi. That is a ceremony when Lord Jagannath, Lord Balram, Balabhadra and Subhadra Devi, the main deities, the only temple in this world where the main installed deities on the altar come out of the altar just with one desire. Maybe there is somebody out there who does not have time to come and take my darshan inside the temple. Maybe as per the social rules, there is somebody out there who is not allowed to come inside to take my darshan. For all those forgotten souls, uncared for souls, I will go out and I even have my hands stretched straight, calling them, please come and embrace me. Please come and fall at my feet Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru. So this Lord Jagannath, Lord Balaram and Subhadra Devi, they come out in the morning. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityanand, all the associates of Lord Chaitanya are there. Lord Chaitanya personally garlands all these devotees who have come. He applies sandalwood to them. And then he very expertly, he makes first four Sankirtan parties. In each of those parties, there are six singers and two Mridanga players. So this organization, we're talking of a madness, but within that madness also there is a lot of planning. And then Lord Chaitanya slowly expands his four Sankirtan parties into seven. So there are four in the front, two, one on each side, and then there is one Sankirtan party behind. And then the Sankirtan starts. And as soon as the Sankirtan starts, Lord Chaitanya is standing in front of Lord Jagannath and he shouts, Hari Hari! He says, Jai Jagannath! And then just to hear those words of love from Lord Jagannath's mouth, everyone just jumps. And it is mentioned, everyone becomes mad. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami uses this word. Says, actually, everyone becomes mad. They just feel those vibrations because Lord Chaitanya is present. And then what happens is, Lord Chaitanya, he starts jumping, he starts dancing, and he sings a prayer. He starts that Rath Yatra by singing, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. He offers prayers to Lord Krishna. And that is how the Rath Yatra starts. He also sings, Naham Vipro Nachanarapati, Napi Vaisho Nashudra. Who am I? I am only the servant of servant of servant of those who are serving Krishna. So with these prayers, the Rath Yatra starts. Lord Chaitanya sometimes jumps high in the air and sometimes falls on the ground. So when he falls on the ground, there is nobody to catch him. People are wondering, how can you catch Lord Chaitanya? He's like a golden mountain. He's not a small child. So when he hits the ground, there's a loud sound, thud, like that. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, it almost seems as if the earth shook for some time. Then sometimes Lord Chaitanya will get up and he'll go around running. Hari, 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 like that. And behind him, Advaita Acharya is also affected by this whole madness. So he's also running behind him. And devotees are wondering how to participate because we are not so mad. We are mad of the first kind. We are not mad of the second kind. So what can you do? You just keep looking. And then there are many details like Lord Chaitanya's, you know, teeth start chattering. He's experiencing Mahabhava. So his teeth are like they cling to each other. And he's saying, ja-ja-ja-ja-ga-ga-ga-ga. He's not even able to speak Jagannath. It is mentioned his eyes act like syringes. And just like a syringe when you push, how the water comes out. So similarly, a stream of water comes out from the eyes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is intense perspiration of sweat, but sometimes also of blood from his pores of the skin. Sometimes there is foam from his mouth. And when all this is happening, Lord Chaitanya is seemingly not of this world. He is in another world. At one point of time, then Lord Chaitanya, looking at the whole scene around him, he stops. And he indicates to Swarup Damodar Goswami to sing something. Today is also the disappearance day of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. So in his last days, Lord Chaitanya, it is mentioned, would spend time only with two associates. One is Ramanand Rai, Vishakha Devi, and one is Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lalita Devi. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, being an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, it is mentioned, he could detect what mood is Lord Chaitanya in today. And accordingly, he will select some shlokas, some sections of the Bhagavatam, and in the privacy of Gambhira, he would speak those shlokas to Lord Chaitanya. So in one verse, in this chapter, this is the 13th chapter of Madhya Leela, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, the senses of Lord Chaitanya and the senses of Swarup Damodar Goswami were one. Today's shloka has Indriyai Indriyartheshu. It talks about the senses. Lord Chaitanya's senses, the senses of the Supreme Lord, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, are one with the senses of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami immediately could understand what is a suitable prayer to be sung when Lord Chaitanya is in this mood. So on this day, when Lord Chaitanya is dancing in front of Lord Jagannath and is going wild in madness, transcendental madness, Swarup Damodar Goswami sings some shlokas from the Bhagavatam. He is singing in the mood of Radharani that, oh dear Lord Krishna, where were you for so many years? This is the mood of the gopis and Radharani when Krishna visited them in Kurukshetra after long years of separation. It's a very esoteric topic. I am not a fit person to speak on that. But just because we are discussing that past time, we are speaking about that. So Lord is being remembered by the gopis, the Supreme Lord is being remembered by Radharani, and that one shloka is spoken by Swarup Damodar Goswami. And there is something called as Uddipan. Uddipan means a trigger. Somebody sitting silent, and then you know some word that triggers him off. Sometimes it happens in a negative way. So you speak one word and that person just gets irritated and he blasts off. Something like that in a transcendental sense. That one word spoken by Swarup Damodar Goswami acts as an Uddipan for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, again, he's in the ecstasy and people around him are wondering, what is going on? We are so fortunate to see this kind of ecstasy. Never before, never later. And then Lord Chaitanya himself, by that Uddipan, he goes to the end of the followers who are pulling that ratha, and from there he turns, he folds his hands, and for a long time he is chanting all the shlokas that were spoken by Radharani and the gopis in the Bhagavatam. And there's a conversation going on between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath, and everyone is watching, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions nobody could understand that conversation. Not a single person could understand what Lord Chaitanya is talking and what Jagannath is hearing. Only one person could understand. That is Swarup Damodar Goswami. So today, that's a special day to remember the contribution of Swarup Damodar Goswami also. So he is fanning those emotions in Lord Chaitanya's mind. And in this way, at one point of time, the story goes that the ratha, when it was being pulled, there were these big wrestlers, very big powerful men of Orissa called Gaudas. So the duty of these Gaudas was, since you are heavily built, your duty is to pull the cart of Jagannath. But all those Gaudas are pulling this ratha, and whenever Lord Chaitanya would dance, the ratha would stop. It will not move. So it is mentioned later in one instance that the Gaudas are pulling, it won't move. Then Pratap Rudra Maharaj thought, how will this go on? So he calls some special wrestlers, maybe sportsmen. So they pull the rath does not move. Frustrated, Pratap Rudra Maharaj calls all the elephants. He's a king, he has elephants. All the elephants pull, the rath does not move. This news comes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya greets his associates, tells them to pull the rope in the front, and tells them, wait till I indicate. And he alone goes behind the rath and pushes the rath with his head. So I used to wonder, whenever we push some object, it is with the hands, isn't it? I was thinking, why his head? Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha. Everything connected to Krishna is worshipable. Krishna is worshipable, Krishna's rath is worshipable. One time Srila Prabhupada went to one Rath Yatra festival, was to be in the evening. Morning, the ratha was standing on the street. As soon as Prabhupada went there, he offered full obeisances. And these disciples around him were like, where is the deity? Deity is not there. So where is he offering his obeisances? He said, no, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha. Because it is ratha of Krishna, that is also worshipable. So Lord Chaitanya is very amazing. He did not push with his hands. He pushed it with his head. Worshipable. And then just because of that push of Lord Chaitanya, the ratha started moving. So here also, whenever Lord Chaitanya would dance, the ratha would stop. Jagannath, Balram and Subhadra Devi just wanted to reciprocate with Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya wanted to reciprocate with Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. So these are some of these amazing pastimes that happened on Rath Yatra day, and this is also a madness of the second type. So depending on who we are, probably if some of you are very fortunate and you have some love for Krishna already, then the second madness, the second solution is good for you. But for most of us, even in Lord Chaitanya's own life, the solution that he gave to Raghunath Das Goswami, that practice sadhana bhakti, and very soon, one day, Krishna will have mercy on all of us and probably give us the madness of the second type. So with these few words, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.